How many of you have ever had poison ivy? All right. That's right. Okay. Now, there's a lot of you that have never had it. I don't know if it's because you are just really careful or you didn't know you had it or maybe you don't get it. Some of you are probably privileged like that. But poison ivy, you get into it and the next day you're really miserable, aren't you? And I was a land surveyor, and we were in poison ivy all the time, and I would get it, and I can remember getting it so many times. I had to come up with some way to deal with it, you know, because it just drives you crazy. And so I decided that I needed to practice mind over matter. Now I'm no tough guy, but I said, you know what, I got to try this. So I have to say, yes, it itches, but I'm stronger than that. I'm not going to itch it. I'm not going to scratch it. And, you know, believe it or not, if you stop itching and scratching and you tell your mind, you know, eventually it kind of, the sensation does dissipate. You can believe me or not. I don't care. But anyway, I'm no scientist, but As we think about poison ivy, I see you guys pulling up sleeves, and I mean, I'm sorry if I brought it up. But here's the interesting thing, and this does have to do with our message this morning. Because when you have an itch, what do you want to do? You want to scratch it. When your back itches, guys, you go to your wife and say, "Can you scratch my back? Okay, just a little bit lower, to the right." And you get it, because it's satisfying, isn't it? You have an itch, you need to get it scratched because it brings you pleasure, and it's satisfying. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Now that you're all rooching around in your pews here this morning, go to 2 Timothy, and we're going to see something that the Apostle Paul is bringing to the attention of Timothy. Something that is a trend in churches and a trend that we see today in our culture in America. And that trend is that people begin to seek pleasures seek their own pleasure, and they will go so they find a church that will scratch their itch. Now here's the sad reality, that there are churches out there that fall prey to this, and that their doors are being flooded with people because they scratch the itch of man's pleasure. Is that the role that we should play as a church, as leadership, as a pastor? Are we here to minister and make sure that you feel good and that all your pleasures are being met and satisfied? I mean, if that were the case, why even have a church? The truth is that the church exists to declare God's glory, God's message, and do it in God's way. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's read our text this morning, first five verses. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And by way of context, just remembering chapter 3, Apostle Paul told Timothy there's going to be severe times that are going to come. There's going to be suffering that's going to be a part of your life. Swindlers are going to increase. But the scriptures are going to remain constant through it all, Timothy. You can plant your feet firmly on the Word of God, and they will carry you. They will be faithful to you. Now let's go to chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. As we look at this text today, one of the very clear things that you see as we read this passage is we see exhortations to a faithful pastor. Exhortations to a pastor on how he needs to be faithful in times where men will be lovers of their own selves, where men will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Faithful pastors where suffering and persecution becomes prevalent. Faithful pastors in an environment where deceivers and swindlers are increasing and becoming worse and worse. Faithful pastors who cling tight to the Word of God because it's their only means of survival. Timothy, I charge thee. So yes, you may sit there and you say, okay, that's great. It's a message to pastors. Check out. But listen, folks, what we're going to see here today is, yes, this is an exhortation to faithful pastors, but there's a profound warning. And that warning consists of the reality that we as people tend to want to please ourselves. And Timothy, you need to be aware, Paul is saying, that there is going to be people all around you who are going to be drawn away into their own pleasures, their own lusts, and they're going to seek their own teachers so that they can sit and be satisfied in their sin. I want to begin by, as we look at this text, by looking at the actions of a faithful pastor. We see Paul saying here, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. You know, dear folks, dear church family, a faithful pastor is one, yes, that understands the dire situation of our culture, but yet he preaches the word. You see, the Apostle Paul here reminds Timothy that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the judge. And he will judge the quick and the dead. You see, we can look at all of the things that are going on in our culture, and we can look at people that have professed Christ and are walking away, and we can look at them and we say, why, God, are you allowing all of these things? Why are you allowing these persecutions? Why are you allowing slander and criticism of your church and of your ministers? Timothy, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge, and all people will stand before him someday. All people. Allow the Lord Jesus to handle those things. But you, Timothy, you faithful pastor, you preach the word. You preach the word. Preach, herald, proclaim. Proclaim or publish God's truth. A faithful pastor not only will be a preacher of the word, but he will be, secondly, one who reproves people through the word. He admonishes with confrontation. How many of you like to be confronted? If you raise your hand, I'd wonder what's going on. Confrontation is hard, isn't it? Is it necessary? Absolutely. A very simple illustration of this is, think about when you had young children in your home. This is the reality in my place, so it's fresh. Children just naturally don't obey. But does that mean we just let them go? No. They need to be confronted. They need to be admonished with confrontation. This idea of reprove here in the text is the idea of to convict, to find fault with, to confront. Now here is an action of a faithful pastor. A faithful pastor is to do this. Now I want to tell you something. If you have somebody who's living in sin, and a faithful pastor comes and confronts them, there's only two things that's going to happen. Either they choose to enjoy their sin and they'll walk away, or they will heed the confrontation, be convicted, and repent. But dear ones, don't ever be satisfied with a pastor who does not admonish with confrontation. It must be a part of the role of any church and the leadership therein. Preaching the word, admonishing with confrontation. Thirdly, admonishing with correction. The text says rebuke. This word literally has the idea of correcting wrong thinking or acting, to admonish, to chide sharply. And we see here to admonish with correction. You know, pastors are not to be people that just lay the hammer down. But we are to admonish folks and say, this is how you can be right. And this is what God's truth says, and allow it to have a way and work in your life. You know, these things, they sound kind of familiar, don't they? Because we just looked at them last week in reference to the Word of God. Because remember that the Word of God, it says in verse 16 of chapter 3, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And dear ones, a faithful pastor preaches the Word, and the Word then is used to admonish with confrontation, and to admonish with correction, and thirdly, to admonish with instruction, to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. A faithful pastor will be one who exhorts and instructs his flock with patience and with sound teaching. You know, that patience thing is very important. It's pretty important. You know, the Bible calls us sheep. Have you ever worked with sheep? You need a lot of patience with sheep. For some reason, my sisters wanted sheep. And maybe it's because God knew I'd be a pastor someday, and I needed to understand sheep. But I want you to know something. In God's sight, I'm a sheep too. And as we're sheep, sheep just don't always do what they're supposed to do. And even if you try to tell them what to do and you show them how to do it, they just aren't always smart enough to do it. And dear ones, listen. A faithful pastor is a guy that's going to love. And you're going to know that love because he's patient. And you're going to know that love because he teaches. And he admonishes with instruction. Just doesn't lay the hammer down. Just doesn't correct you. But he also instructs you so that you might stand firm in the Scriptures. So a faithful pastor is going to be one who preaches the Word and then uses that Word to reprove, rebuke, and exhort the flock. Now remember, the context of all of this is Timothy, times are going to be tough. People aren't going to like the message, aren't going to like the truth. But you must be faithful and preach the word, because remember, Jesus is going to be the judge, and all will stand before him. faithful pastor is going to preach the word, is going to admonish with confrontation, admonish with correction, admonish with instruction. And now we're going to see the warning. I want you to see in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Now, as I studied this, I asked this question. Who is he talking about? He says, they. They will not endure sound doctrine. Let's see if you can figure it out along with me as we go down through this text. I believe you will understand it as we read further. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Who is Paul talking about? You know what? I believe that the sad reality is he is talking about people that profess Jesus Christ. People that are surrounding Timothy and are part of the ministry of the church there in Ephesus. But the reality is, Timothy, times are going to be tough. Deception is going to increase. Persecution is going to increase. The scriptures are going to be the constant. But here's what's going to happen. Time will come when some will not endure sound doctrine. And dear church, you and I, we must be people that stand firm on the Word of God. And that's going to be a daily practice. That's got to be a daily practice. Because the times are so full of lies. And the lusts of this world are so in your face. That if we forget to stand upon the Word of God, it's easy for us to fall. And dear church, the sad reality is Paul speaking here, future tense, he's saying, Timothy, this is going to happen. This is going to be what it's like, that there's going to be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, what's that mean? They're not going to heed or listen to healthy teaching for the soul. Healthy teaching for the soul. How do you determine what's healthy for your soul? It's the Word of God. What's healthy teaching for your soul is found in God's Word. Be careful that you are not led astray by those that will seek to teach you things that are not in agreement with God's Word. You need to be students of the Word of God so that you know how to feed yourself healthy food. And part of that is having a faithful pastor. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Here's the picture. You have people, and they begin to get their eyes off the Word of God and off Jesus Christ and on themselves. Why? Well, that's what Paul says is going to happen. Chapter 3. And those kinds of things are going to be prevalent in culture. And it's going to infiltrate the church. And so these kinds of people then begin to dislike the sound doctrine. Why? It's because the sound doctrine is confronting them and their sin. We've already established the fact that no one likes confrontation. No one likes to be confronted and told that they are wrong. But that's what God's Word does. And so therefore, they get fed up with the truth. So they walk around and seek to find a teacher that will not nail them to the floor, that will not preach the truth at them, that will allow them to be satisfied in their sin. This is true today, folks. There are great church movements around this country that have relaxed their theology and their doctrine. And in doing so, they have gained a great following. But these people are described here as people that they follow after their own lusts, and they are heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. They have an itch, and they want it scratched. And the sad reality is that the Word of God, it's always the same, it's always the firm standard of the truth. And it does not cave in to our own sinful pleasures. It confronts them. This idea of heap is exactly what it means. A great pile. And we see these people as they put forward teachers that will teach what they want. And it's a pile of teachers. A pile of people that will scratch their itch. They shall turn away, verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And this is what leads me to believe that these are people that once followed the truth. Because now they are turning away from it. They are turning away from the truth, and they are turning unto fables. Fables, myths, stories, or sayings. And it's interesting, this word's used 5 times in the New Testament, and every single time it is used of man's stories. There is not one single time it's used of a story or saying of God. It's always used of something that finds its source in men. So, what's the warning? Well, we need to be truth receivers rather than pleasure seekers. Church, are you one that receives the truth? Or are you just seeking pleasure? And you're here just as long as things are okay, and you don't get found out. Dear ones, listen, if that is how you feel, may today be the day that you repent of that attitude and be one that chooses to seek the truth, no matter what it confronts in your life. Because God's truth is faithful. Paul already said it, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Is that who you want to be? A man or woman of God, complete and ready for whatever good works God has for you? You'll find that completion as you follow the Word of God. Be truth receivers rather than pleasure seekers. Be maturing in the truth rather than meandering in error. Paul writes in the Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 14, as he talks about God's gifts to the church and the ministers he's given to the church, he says this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do not be meandering in error. Be folks who are maturing in the truth. Thirdly, be committed to God's Word rather than corralled by worldly pleasures. Be committed to God's Word rather than corralled by worldly pleasures. What happens when someone embraces sin? They go away from people proclaiming truth that is hostile to their sin. And they will find others who will favor and excuse it. That's what happens. Church, listen. Don't be corralled by worldly pleasures. They're out there, and they want your attention. Be someone who is committed to God's Word. Paul gives the example of Demas. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Loved this present world. Church, be committed to God's Word rather than corralled by worldly pleasures. And fourthly, be submissive to godly ministers rather than seduced by false shepherds. Do you have a faithful pastor? Are you sitting under the teaching of the Word of God on a regular basis? This text ends with these instructions to Timothy. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy, watch over God's people, endure suffering, proclaim the gospel. That's what it means to do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist, that literally means to be a proclaimer of good news. Well, what's the good news we've got to proclaim, church? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's incredible news. For a world that is stuck in sin and in darkness, we have Jesus Christ who has come to give life. Eternal life. Through His death upon the cross. The Bible calls Him the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Proclaim the gospel and display full evidence of a sincere God-centered ministry.